Controlling the Human Mind, The Last Frontier, Number 2. Now, so far I have 4 books. I'm not going to do extended reading from them, but I have one here that I'll probably be reading from later on, and it is called Controlling the Human Mind by Dr. Nick Begich, and he is currently the Democrat candidate for senator in Alaska. And the vote is so close, they don't know whether it's going to be the criminal Stevens or this fellow here. But in it, there is a page which has the face of a man, and right in the middle of his forehead is a chip. Then I have the one who switched off my brain. I may be doing a little reading from it as we go along here. But the thing that's important to understand is that how we think and the thoughts we let into our minds are most important. And just like anything else, what you put into your mind is what you are. And what you allow to go into your mind is how you're going to react. Then I have the book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, which is very interesting. And the most profound thing that he brings out in this, and this is by Dr. Daniel G. Amen, and all of these are available on Amazon.com, by the way, is that the human mind lies to itself automatically unless it's trained to recognize the truth and operate by the truth. So the mind actually can be trained and, as we would say, wired in a way of thinking. Now, in the book, Who Switched Off My Brain, by Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she makes everything into positive-negative thinking. But as we will see, that is not enough. However, positive and negative thinking are very important, provided you understand what is truly positive and what is truly negative, and how that your thoughts affect even your blood cells, and the connection with the heart is very similar, because there are 90,000 neurons surrounding the heart. And that's the heart-mind connection. I did a series on that some time ago, which we will put together with this series that we are doing here. But let's come to I'm going to repeat almost every time in this series until we really get it. Let's come to Proverbs 4. And let's pick it up here in verse 18. So this time we're going to add a few other verses to it and get the context flow. That's page 775. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. All right, let's go back to verse 13. Verse 13, Proverbs 4. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Now, we're going to cover instruction, wisdom, understanding, and so forth out of the book of Proverbs. Keep her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, the way that they do or the way that they think. And go not into the way of evil men. Because there are consequences that are going to happen, because all the laws and commandments and precepts and statutes of God are all automatic, with the exception of those commands for the offering of sacrifices at the altar. He says, avoid it. That's the first thing. Now, I want to show you the unity of Scripture here. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Hold your place. because I want to show you the unity of Scripture, Old and New Testament, because there are just too many people. And unfortunately, it's some of them, or even in the Church of God, who do not believe that the Old Testament is really fully applicable to us today. However, they are greatly mistaken. 1 Corinthians 6, page 1164. Okay. Now, they are greatly mistaken because Paul wrote to Timothy that he knew the Holy Writings, meaning the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Which is interesting, then. The teachings of Jesus Christ interpret the Old Testament, and the Old Testament, then, is the foundation for the teachings of the New Testament, and we will see how absolutely similar they are. Now, notice. Let's pick it up here in verse 15. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? See, because as we said, we belong to God. God created us. Everything goes back, as we will cover today, goes back to Adam, and we will analyze what went wrong and why human beings are the way they are today. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. What? Don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For he says, the two shall be one flesh. Now that's directly to the Ten Commandments and all of the things in the Old Testament, you see, to back it up. So here's another way. You come to the New Testament and you find this, and then you go back into the Old Testament, into the law, and into the writings, and into the prophets, and you'll see that principle carried through and the laws of God carried through in every case. Which means what? The laws of God carry through in the New Testament as well. See? Now notice the spiritual comparison, because we will get there as we go through this and the whole purpose of the human mind. Verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. See, because the purpose of our minds and our bodies is to receive the Holy Spirit and to become a temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3, know you not that you are the temple of God? Your body is the temple of God. That's why God created it. See? Now notice. Verse 18. Here's where it's identical to what we just read in Proverbs 4, flee sexual immorality. Now, the Greek word there is porneia, and sexual immorality covers all sexual sin. And come up here to verse 9. Let's read it. Okay. And we will see what? This goes right back to all the teachings contained in the Old Testament. Verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, those who commit all kinds of sexual immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers of themselves as women. See, because men who are homosexuals and take the female role are in a special lower class of sin because they are abusers of themselves as women, completely changing the whole role. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Because upon repentance and baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit, God, as we will see later, and we'll go into it in great detail, can change your brain and change your way of thinking. Now, without the Holy Spirit of God, you can change your brain and wire it, so to speak, we'll cover this a little later, to do good or to do evil. But you can also change it. That's why you have rehabilitation programs where people are able to overcome drugs and alcohol and bad behavior, because then they put in the right thoughts into their minds, and every single one of these programs that are successful are always linked to Bible teachings. Always. So there is hope. See, so bringing out some of these things, you need to realize that in order to understand the way that God works, you've got to understand the laws of God, and you've got to know what sin is, so that you can choose to stop sinning, you can choose to overcome, you can choose to repent, you can choose to love God, because all of these things are what? Choices. Decisions. All right? Let's come down here to verse 18 again. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man may commit is outside the body. But the one who commits sexual immorality is sinning against his own body. Isn't it interesting? I don't believe there's ever been a case of sexually transmitted disease among husband and wife who were faithful before marriage and faithful during marriage. That's because sexual immorality and all sexual sins, when they come to the full, reap all kinds of physical and mental diseases. And the physical diseases, I mean, you even see it on television, don't you? Oh, I have herpes, but I take this medicine, and my partner doesn't get it. Isn't that wonderful? Amazing, isn't it? Okay, now here, verse 19 tells you what I mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 3. What? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have within you from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And if you glorify God in your spirit, you're going to glorify God in your mind. Okay, now let's come back here to Proverbs 4 again. Let's pick it up right here. Verse 15. Avoid it. Flee. Flee means avoid it quickly. Now, speaking of fleeing fornication or fleeing sexual immorality, what did Joseph do when the wife of his boss came and said, tried to entice him many times, refused, and finally when he was caught alone with her in the house, which he should never have been in the first place if he were wise, she tried to force him and he fled, but she held on to his garment and double-crossed him and got him thrown into prison. Now, verse 16, for they do not sleep except when they have done mischief. See, because true hardened criminals have designed their minds, and they can by thinking, to accept criminality as positive. So therefore, they have no conscience, though they know they are doing wrong, but they feel that they are right. And we'll see where this comes from in a little bit. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They've got to go out and find some other victim, whether it be to lie, to steal, to cheat, to get involved in immoral sexual relations and so forth. And I'll just have to say here that our experience has been with especially Nigeria. I'm sure I mentioned it before, but they are known in the world as the highest number of con artists and thieves in the world for all kinds of monetary crimes. And they are also known as the most, how should we say, the most lying Christian thieves going after churches seeking for money. No other country in the world. So if anyone is in Nigeria, lead the nation in repentance and get rid of that reputation. They had a whole hour on MSNBC about all the scams that were done in Nigeria and how many people had been taken for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, when they get caught, there's hardly anything they do to them. So now a lot of Nigerians, to get their scams working, they go to the country next to them to the west called Benin. So it doesn't sound like it's coming out of Nigeria, but that's like going across the border of a state, you know, between California and Arizona or Nevada or Oregon. Well, they don't sleep unless they can do it. Okay? Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. That's where it always ends up. Now stop and think about this. I want you to take verse 17. Actually, you can take all the verses there that we read down to verse 17, 13 to 17. And I want you to watch your television. And I want you to begin judging the television shows that you are watching and what is entering into your minds. And I want you to think about some of the games that many people let their children play, these computer games and little PlayStation games. And I want you to understand it, okay? Judge it by this. Is wickedness being sown? What do they show? If you watch the soaps and addicted to them, you're letting adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, stealing come into your mind at a regular basis. And then, if you don't have the discipline to put on the mute when the commercials come on, you're going to be fed a lot of messages through them, and you'll understand that even more when I get into the book Controlling the Human Brain, because they have audio and visual messages that can be transmitted to the brain, and you don't even know it because you're watching it. That's especially important for teenagers. What do you think the messages are where they are taught in school, beginning in kindergarten, the ethics of homosexuals, and taught right in class all they need to know about sex, and then they wonder, well, I wonder why we have so much teenage pregnancies. Well, if you teach them how to do it, what do you think they're going to do? Sit out and play a game of chess? I mean, think about it for a minute. So anyone who is a teenager, what are you letting into your mind? Not only what are you being taught, but you also have to think very, very, very importantly, why would you get it? And we'll talk about music again here a little later on. Why would you listen to rock music, rap music, go to rock concerts, and have the music driven through your very being, and then you wonder why? Or maybe your parents wonder why. Maybe you don't, because maybe if you're a teen, you think it's cool. But your parents wonder why. you're so rebellious. Because it pounds rebellion in your head. See? You need to understand that. Now, here's the contrast, which is a contrast that goes all the way through the book of Proverbs. It shows the way of life and the way of sin. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. Now, you can take that and you can apply that spiritually to those who are converted and have God's Spirit, that you are being perfected with the Spirit of God, and this becomes very important. See? Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. It always involves lying, cheating, rebellion, and all of those things. And remember this. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, that means anyone, so he is. My son, attend to my words, verse 20. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. The worst thing they ever did in education was to ban the Bible and to quit teaching children the Ten Commandments, because that would teach them what is right and what is wrong. And that's why you cannot legislate any number of laws to create a society that will be law-abiding if you don't teach people how to be law-abiding by acknowledging God as the author of law. Never work. All right? Now notice, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So what happens when you have young people and you have successful young adults and successful older adults who follow the principles in the Bible, whether converted or unconverted, and they manage their lives and direct their lives in a way that is right? What happens? They're successful, right? Yes. Why? Because God blesses people who want to follow His way, whether they're converted or not. Now, what happens with the wicked? Since they don't do that, and they don't want to do that, they see the success of the other people, and they go to their politicians and say, I don't have enough, let's spread the wealth around. Right? See, even the New Testament says if you won't work, you won't eat. Now, I don't think Obama could have gotten elected on that platform, could he? No. That's always true, because there is always God. All right. For they are life to those who find Him and health to all your flesh. Now, think about that. What is this talking about? This is talking about your physical well-being, is it not? Because your physical well-being is directly related to how you think. Now, with all the chemicals and things that we have today, you cannot say that it's 100%. What the exact percentage would be, we don't know. But we'll talk about this a little more when we get to it, because health to your flesh, very important. Your physical well-being depends upon how you think. Now notice, after all of that, now verse 23. This is the verse I want you to memorize. And this is the verse I want you to also write down and analyze what you're watching on television, what you are reading in books and newspapers. Think about it the next time you go through the check stand and how many bosoms are exposed. Not by men, so don't think I'm picking on women. But what is that designed for? That's designed to get men to lust from that point of view. but it's more designed to the envy of women. That they want to be the perfect physical model. And so Satan has it out there, how to lose 50 pounds in 2 weeks, you know. Of course, those things never work. And notice how many women buy those. Notice how many men don't buy them. Also notice that on the checkout stand rack of magazines, you don't have any muscle men books, do you? You don't see a book there, How to Succeed by Obeying God, do you? Look at this man, he was successful because he kept the commandments of God. Oh no, it's all about sex, divorce, remarried, boyfriends, split ups, isn't it? Now that tells you where the society is. I know there was one time there was a magazine that was so pornographic that I went to the manager of the grocery store, Nob Hill, Hollister, where I live, and I said, you know, could you please not have these things displayed? I said, take a look at this. And he says, well, the magazine companies buy the space and put up the magazines, so we can't change them. I said, well, could you at least cover it up because it was so indecent? So he went along and put a little cover-up thing they had on there. So my little rebellion against that is when I go through the checkout stand, if the magazine is really bad, I turn the back cover so it's visible. All right. Notice verse 23. This becomes all important. Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence. Now, it says in the most translations, your heart. But that really means your whole way of thinking, which is your mind. Notice, above all, guard the door of your mind with all diligence. Most important thing, what goes in to your mind. Now, there have been people in the church who have lived double lives. They're one way when they come to church, and they're another way when they leave church. Some live in adultery. Some take God's name in vain. Some are only glad-hander socialites. And that's why the churches had to be scattered. See, that's all part of it. And it's too easy to blame the ministers and the leaders. Yeah, they all had their problems. But we need to focus on our part too, you see. So what goes into your mind? Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The very substance of how you think, the way you act, the way you react. And if you fill your mind with toxic negative thoughts, which we'll cover later, you actually imprint that into every cell of your body in degree. Likewise, if you let God with His Spirit put into your mind love and faith and hope, His commandments and His laws, how is that going to wire your brain to think like God? It will, because we'll have a complete sermon on the mind of Christ. How does it get there? And what is God doing? All right, now notice. So we see we are to put in, we are to take out, we are to avoid, we are to guard. Verse 24, put away from you a wicked mouth and devious lips put far from you. Now why is that? Isn't it interesting that Dr. Amen, Daniel Amen, in trying to solve the problems of behavior, The very first thing that he has to tell everyone who has all kinds of problems is that your brain lies to yourself. Now notice what it says here. Put away from you a wicked mouth and devious lips, put far from you. Stop lying to yourself. Alcoholics think, well, I'm not addicted, but give me another drink. Obsessive gamblers think, oh, I'm not addicted, but I want to win that big jackpot. Adulterers and fornicators think, ah, no, it'll never happen to me. Drug takers think, I'll never be addicted. Every single one in drug rehab admit that's what each one told him or herself and got hooked. That's why it says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why it says in Genesis 6 that the heart of man is only evil continually, and that the imaginations of his heart are that way all the time. Now stop and think about the inundation on the human mind in society today. You watch that in on television, you watch it in news, do it in channel surfing. Check the newspapers, check the magazines, go to the magazine rack where there are magazines that you never have even looked at or whatever. You've just passed by. You don't have to open the magazines and look at them, but just look at the magazines. What are they? What are they saying? What is the message? And then consider this. Wherever you go, you're kept under control, whether you know it or not, by music. You go to the grocery store, what do they have? Music. I remember I came into the grocery store about 9 in the morning to get something, and they had this rock music just bangity boongity bang. Oh, and I just couldn't take it. So I asked the manager, I said, could, you know, for in the morning, for some of us old folks, you know, couldn't you put on some nice soothing music? Maybe we'd be more inclined to buy some things. He says, well, it's piped in from corporate headquarters. See, so any music you hear wherever you go, whatever store, Macy's, Penny's, Best Buy, no, Costco doesn't have music going. Shop Costco. Most people do. But anyway, to the drugstore, to whatever it is, they have music going all the time, and especially the big chains. So the question you need to ask, because they've run tests, that if they put subliminal messages in there that you can't even hear audibly, they affect sales. And they've noticed with the music, with the subliminal message, the sales of certain items go up. Just like they've done in movies. They put in there, buy Coke, buy popcorn. So everybody runs out and get a Coke and buys popcorn, okay? Which also then fuels the mind, fuels the body, and adds all of this. You see, living in this world today is a real challenge. Yes. Now, verse 25. Okay, let's amplify here, verse 24, a little bit here. If you put away thoughts out of your minds, and if you pray about it, and ask God to cleanse your mind and wash your mind, it will go away. Because God designed your brain to change. He designed your brain to be able to get rid of those thoughts with his spirit and with his laws. Now then, when you do that, you put it away. Verse 25, let your eyes look right on, let your eyelids look straight before you, ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Think about what you're going to do before you do it. Here's another truism that we're going to learn all the way through this. You are responsible, every human being is, to control his or her thoughts and emotions. Too many people let their thoughts and emotions control them. And when you let the lying, negative, devious part of human nature control you through emotions and not controlling your thoughts, but your thoughts controlling you, that's important for us to realize, see? Because this is what we're talking about is the essence of life and the means of overcoming and salvation. Now notice, verse 27. Do not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now let me just say this. A lot of thoughts that are lying thoughts seem like they're good, but the result of it is sin. And that's how Satan is going to try and tempt. He's not going to come along and say, go out and murder. He's going to come along and say, boy, that person really offended you. Get a root of bitterness? Get hatred? He's got you. All right, now come over here to chapter 3, and we will expound this a little bit more, verse 1. And in this series, we are going to go through a lot of the book of Proverbs and Psalms, because this has to do with the mind and the heart. Psalms has to do with the heart, your emotions and feelings in relationship to God. And Proverbs has to do with your mind and choices. And Ecclesiastes has to do with the futility and vanity of life without God. And the book of Job has to do with why all righteousness comes from God. Therefore, if you keep the commandments of God and you do all the things that Job did, what have you done? You've done what God has said to do. So whose righteousness is it? Yours or God's in you? And if it's God's in you, that's why Elihu said to Job, Job, do you think it's right that you said that my righteousness is more than God's? See, because the whole thing is, you get away from why we were created. Why we are here in the first place, our purpose in life, and all of that. Now, chapter 3 and verse 1, we've gone through this before, but let's read it again. Because by repetition comes learning, and comes reinforcement, and comes affirmation of truth, and becomes incentive for following God's laws. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Notice you, and this gets to the heart, doesn't it? And isn't it interesting? How does it say we are to love God? With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our being, all our strength, right? That's how we're to do it, see? Now notice what it does even in the physical life. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. That is not what everyone wants. And even the worst criminal, when he's caught, even after murdering other people, and the police are pointing their guns at him and moving in to arrest him, what do they say? Don't shoot! Don't shoot! That's not how you get long life. You love God and obey Him. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. because mercy gives you tenderheartedness toward other people. Mercy gives you forgiveness toward other people, and we're going to talk an awful lot about that in one of these sermons, why forgiveness is so important and why Jesus said the very first thing there in Matthew, the 5th chapter, that if you have anything against your brother, you go get reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift to me. And the reason is, if you don't, you cannot be in the right frame of mind because you don't have mercy, you don't have grace, you don't have forgiveness. Okay? Bind them about your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, as I explained before, God is the one who does the writing, Hebrews the 10th chapter and Hebrews the 8th chapter, with His Spirit in us. But people who are not called to salvation, they do the writing by training. Now, if you want to see the exact opposite of that, think of the training that the radical jihadists get in their madrasas. And if you want an example of a completely insane brain, wired to death, hateful, evil, and absolutely just the most incredibly wicked thing that could be to train kids from 4 years old up and just drill it and drill it and drill it and drill it in their head and deprive them and discipline them to where by time they get to be 16 or 18, they are angry and hostile and mean and willing to kill and blow up and even become suicide bombers. So it's important what's being written on the tablet of your heart. Now here's why. So that you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Because God has not abandoned all people in the world. He still gives them everything that they need to live. Let's go to the next track, please.